Welcome to the Holistic Psychiatrist Podcast, a place for inspiration, insight, and information on holistic mental health. Join your host, Dr. Alice Lee, and discover critical information on safe, effective psychiatric medication withdrawal. Explore new ideas that enlighten and expand the mind with cutting-edge authors and experts, along with former patients as they share their miraculous healing journeys. It's time to build your well-being from the thought up. It's time for the Holistic Psychiatrist Podcast. Here's your host, Dr. Alice Lee.
Hello and welcome to the Holistic Psychiatrist Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Alice Lee, and with me is Jack Rowe. He is here to help me with our topic today, which is how a holistic psychiatrist interprets psychiatric history differently. And the reason this is really important is because a holistic psychiatrist integrates three fields of healing. You have your psychiatry and functional medicine and energy medicine. And because of the additional tools that you have in your toolbox, when you listen to psychiatric history, you're always trying to think, okay, what is the underlying causes and how can I use my tools to help this patient to go from A to Z? So A is where they are when they first come in and Z is their healing goals and what they want for their lives. So today's podcast is just to help you understand how a holistic psychiatrist will listen to the history and come away with a whole different understanding of what interventions and treatments would be helpful for that patient compared to a functional doctor versus a traditional psychiatrist. And throughout our podcast, I will try to compare how these different fields would think about different types of history so that you'll be able to understand the differences when you see a holistic psychiatrist. So just to let you know also, Jack, he is a digital media artist. He's a music producer. He's a writer and editor. And you can find out more about him in his website, jackintheway.net. For those who are interested in looking more in depth at what I do, my website is holisticpsychiatrist.com, and you can get everything on my website, including the podcasts, and hopefully you will sign up for my holistic updates, which provide updated information about anything new, anything fascinating that has come into my recent attention, and I'll try to write about it and help those who are listed on my email list with these fascinating insights that I gain. So hopefully you'll sign up for that. Jack, I'm going to let you take over.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me and look forward to talking about this today because, you know, we're talking about the way that you as a holistic psychiatrist interpret psychiatric history differently, certainly different from maybe a conventional approach, but also just differently in the sense that it's unique and there's a lot to it. I want to begin with, how does a holistic psychiatrist differ from a traditional or functional medical approach when you are actually listening to the psychiatric history itself?
Yeah, so when you're listening to psychiatric history from a patient, you are listening partially to what kind of information is treatable. So if you're a traditional psychiatrist and your toolbox involves psychiatric medication, so you're listening to the DSM symptom list. And if the patient has a kind of a mix of symptoms, you might give them a mix of different medications. So for example, if the patient comes across as depressed, you'll give them an antidepressant. If they're anxious, you give them something for anxiety. If they are psychotic, you might give them an antipsychotic. But it's a pretty straightforward correlation. There isn't a lot of tools that a psychiatrist has in terms of treatment from their toolbox. So if you suspect a neurological tumor or something because the presentation is really very different from a regular psychiatric history, then you would refer out, right? You'll refer to other specialists who specialize in those fields. But in terms of psychiatric care, there's a pretty close correlation between the history and the intervention in terms of medication management. I would say that most psychiatrists' opinions are such that if they feel that your symptoms fit into one of the diagnoses, they will treat it with a medication. Now, a functional medicine, let's say a psychiatrist adds to their toolbox a functional medicine approach. they will now listen with the intent of accessing information that is treatable with a nutritional support or dietary interventions, something to support the body's physical innate ability to heal. So that's a lot better. They're a little bit more specific in their quest to treat the patient. So they'll do a lot of lab work. The lab work will check their blood and stool and sputum, and it will check for allergies, for example, food sensitivities. The labs will check for infections and things like that. But they're looking for specific things that physically can render that patient ill over the course of years and try to ameliorate those underlying causes. But there's more to healing than just the physical part of the body. Mm-hmm. And that's where energy medicine is really important. And as a holistic psychiatrist, I'm integrating three fields. So I'm understanding the person in terms of their energy and information, more from what we understand from an Eastern approach. And then we understand some of the biology and biochemistry of the body from the functional medicine approach. And also, of course, my 10-year training in psychiatry. So I'm understanding all of the impact of how the medications or exposure to medications, or even thinking like a medical doctor, would help that patient. So when you integrate the energy medicine approach, you're really thinking about the person more as a whole, and you understand that the mind, trauma, emotions, attitudes, assumptions will have a direct impact on the body. That's not something that is integrated in either a functional or psychiatric approach, because a functional doctor is really focused on the nutritional piece. They are not there to help resolve the traumas. They might, you know, like refer that out because they think that energy medicine clinicians can work with that therapy angle. But as a holistic psychiatrist, I'm integrating all of it. So I do want the therapy piece that uses energy medicine to help with trauma or help with their attitudes or fears to be a part of the treatment that I am integrating for that patient. There is a direct correlation between how you heal the mindset and how it has an impact on the physical body. So when I'm working with that, I'm really working on the whole picture. Like, how does the trauma affect the body? How does the body then start to have underlying vulnerabilities? How does that end up with actually DSM-4 psychiatric symptoms? And you're listening to all of these things, and then you come up with, okay, how do we lower stress? So you can't heal everything at once.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that you can understand as a holistic psychiatrist is that there's a lot of stress that person is shouldering, and that's why they're not at their optimum. So your goal as a holistic psychiatrist is to assist them the best way that you can to lessen that stress. And the less stress they have, either from an energy perspective, functional perspective, psychiatric perspective, the more the body will be able to do its innate work more efficiently and more powerfully. So you're really still understanding that the body is the main doctor. You're there just to facilitate as much as you can that healing process, but it's the patient's innate wisdom in the body that you're trying to support, right? You're not like doing things to the patient per se. You're facilitating the patient's innate healing process.
Wow. So it sounds to me like as a holistic psychiatrist, you hold the interpretations of psychiatric history, or really even just the way of practicing healing in the sense of holistic psychiatry, with a light touch. Like, you hold it lightly. You hold the value that your psychiatric, conventional psychiatric background has to offer you, you hold that lightly. Functional medicine, you hold it lightly. Even energy medicine, you hold it lightly, so that when something seems like the place to go, like functional medicine, for example, there might be a patient where you know that's the main thing to focus on. You're not hung up on energy medicine. It's certainly not on conventional psychiatry, but you're able to put those down easily because you don't hold them with too tight of a grip. As opposed to, you could imagine maybe somebody who specializes in one particular field, like maybe back when you were a conventional psychiatrist,
right. Mm-hmm.
Like that was all you have. because it's so siloed, and you unsilo yourself, make yourself available to this. And then it sounds like, to take it a step further, you then have, because you are able to hold the paradigms lightly, you then make yourself available to receive the patient's wisdom as almost like that fourth dimension of holistic psychiatry, in a way, is the healing wisdom or practice of the patient themselves and the body that they have, as you said, the body's wisdom. And so...
Can you pause for that? Because really great insight. You point out something really important here, because there is a different relationship that the clinician will have with the patient depending on what field they're coming from. In psychiatry, it's really about the doctor giving you a prescription. You go to the pharmacy, you take the pill, and the pill does something to your body. So you're really a minor player when it comes to healing. You just have to take the pill. And it's usually one pill, but if the doctor thinks you need it, you might take 5 or 6 pills or 10 pills, but it's always something done to you and the patient is passive. With a functional doctor, it's a little bit different. They do require some dietary changes. They will ask you to take some supplements on a regular basis throughout the day. There's a lot more specificity that the lab provides in terms of what is helpful for supporting the body. The patient is a little bit more of a co-creator with the functional doctor, and the treatment is a little bit more specific to that patient. Now, as a holistic doctor, it's even more so. Like, whatever this functional doctor has advanced to, the holistic doctor does even more of that. So what I've learned to be very important for me as a holistic clinician is the fit between the patient and me, because it's no longer the doctor and then the patient, and the patient does things that the doctor tells them. It's very co-creative, like 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
Where I bring in my 50% of my empirical experiences and everything, and I can help point the way, the path towards healing. But the patient has to do a lot of, you know, work in terms of the meditation stuff that they do on a regular basis, the supplements they need to take. But also, I'm asking them questions about what's going on with them and how are they experiencing this past week. So their data is constantly coming in, and we're adjusting treatment based upon their data. And some of the energy testing that I'm doing for the patients, I think, is greatly influenced by the patient's mindset. Because when we do energy testing, I think what we're tapping into is the energy state of that patient. So I found that patients who come in with an agenda, they're not open to the whole healing process. They're lying about everything, and they have a very strong intention for a certain thing to happen, it does bias the energy testing.
Right.
So I need patients who are open, who are honest, so we can work together. And when I do the energy testing, there's no blocking of information that is trying to get to me as I'm testing the information. So when I accept a patient into my practice who's been on medications for decades, or many medications for even a year or two, I'm thinking, is this patient going to be able to work with me 50-50? Like, will I be able to rely and trust in that patient's ability to be committed to this healing process? Because it's a lot of work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't sugarcoat anything for the patients. I do tell them, if you're on medications and I'm trying to help you get off of them, I need to see you once a week. We can't just leave you for a month, you know, while you're out there, you know, doing your thing with medication withdrawal and come back, or even try to help you when you're like in crisis. We have to stabilize you before we try to lower the meds. So when you say that there's a light touch, it's different. The relationship between the doctor and patient is different.
Right.
Yeah. It's not like I'm going to do things to you. It's more like, here are things that, you know, if you want to do it, you will get better. If you don't do it, it's going to take you 10 years to get better.
I'm thinking about this from the patient's perspective. A patient coming to see you, they are receiving access to care from a variety of different paradigms, modalities, all within your skill set, you know, and your background. And it feels to me like, for a lot of people, and this kind of goes to the holistic aspect of it, for a lot of people, they'll go to multiple different doctors and practitioners and healers who are all maybe in communication, maybe not. But either way, they're getting these pieces that are very segmented and fragmented when you're taking it all from different places. And it can feel very, whatever the opposite of holistic is, you know, very fragmented and pieces all over the place, where it forces a patient to have so much mystery about themselves, where there is a darkness, not just mystery, but like a darkness. And I can imagine that by coming to somebody like yourself, who's holistic, when they have access to everything, it allows them to see more of a cohesive tapestry that is still chaotic, certainly, still has both the chaos and the order, but is richer and more vibrant because all of the pieces are connected, because they have access to care that comes from all the modalities. And then you might say the most important piece of the tapestry, which is threads actually coming together, is the patient's engagement and willingness itself. And so that's what I was imagining as you were talking about this, that there's sort of this tapestry of an individual in a patient when they have access to holistic care.
Yeah, and that's well said. I think that, you know, over the years, I've had to develop more tools for different parts of the body. Because I've learned that it's not just the neurotransmitters that I need to focus on. Back when I was in medical school, I thought to myself, why am I spending like 4 years in medical school learning about the liver and the spleen and this and that when I'm just interested in people's thoughts? And I thought it was like all neurological, like the brain up, right? But now I understand that mental illness, of course, is a physical illness. It involves so many other aspects of the body. So over the years, I have had more experience and learned more tools to help a person's liver and their GI system, their hormones, you know, what's going on with their blood sugars. I had to, in some ways, support their social network, give them advice about exercise, teach them a little bit about diet, which is not taught in med school, and how nutrition has an impact on inflammation and oxidative stress and all of these different things. So it's a complicated interaction or dance between so many different aspects of individuals' lives. One of the things that is interesting also that I've learned is like when you do energy medicine, like just your intentions, working with life energy, it can cause the body to shift dramatically, like what they call a healing crisis. Because if that person is setting positive intentions for healing and the only way for that body to reach that stage is to detox, the body might, because of its own incomplete healing process, might try to do that healing process in a way that causes a lot of suffering for the person.
Yeah.
You know, so we set positive intentions, but how those positive intentions end up being implemented by the body can cause a lot of oxidative stress because they're detoxing, right? They're letting go of those toxins, and it can cause heightened sense of anxiety or insomnia or something like that. And you think, well, how is it possible that the body can have such a dramatic reaction to energy medicine, to a few thoughts? But I have seen it. And so even with energy medicine, we're using thoughts and intentions to guide the body towards a healing process. There's considerations to be made on how much to do and what to target, and making sure that the process itself is not too fast, because too fast doesn't mean feeling good. Yeah, it could be terribly stressful.
It reminds me of something like if someone gets, this is a violent image, but if you get, or if you get just like a stick stuck in you or something, and it's like the way in which it gets taken out, the point is to take it out. Like, let's take out the thing that's hurting the person.
Right.
And if you do energy medicine and a person's like, please, you know, you imagine someone on the ground and they're, take it out as fast as you can, as fast as you can. And the person might freak out and rip it out, and it might cause damage on the way out because they're not doing it carefully. And it might be quick, which the person, sure, of course, who doesn't want to heal quick that comes to see you. If the energy medicine from, you know, you're going to allow whatever they're able to do, and if they might be just so fed up with their illness or something like that, and you can imagine them screaming like that to their subconscious, you might say, and the subconscious is like, okay, you know, like, well, I'll
just do it. Exactly.
And then they're freaking out. And luckily, it's great that you can see that and you can say, okay, it's okay. Like, there might be some damage done on the way out, but at least it's coming out.
Yes, you have to reassure the patient. It's healing. It's just that there's something that we need to work on right now that minimizes how you heal. So it's all from experience over time, because When I first started with energy medicine, did I ever assume that energy medicine could cause such a huge shift in a physical body just from your working with like life energy, positive energy? And in fact, with one patient, it was the patient, the mother, and I, and we set some really positive intentions. And we repeatedly said that the healing process would be stress-free and easy and smooth. And that week she had a healing crisis. Like it was a really rough time for her right after the energy healing. So I thought to myself, like, we set positive intentions for a smooth, stress-free healing. But then the body in its healing process did not go through a stress-free, smooth healing process. It was a very intense healing process. And so the question is why? My only kind of assumption is that the intentions were set, but there wasn't enough energy healing in the body for the body to let go of basic information that causes suffering. So whatever is causing that person to suffer in the first place, that has to be dealt with as well. So that it doesn't get twisted. It's almost like the body has a filter. And when you bring these lovely intentions in, it goes through that filter and it gets twisted. And so if the first filter is, I'm a bad person and I deserve to be punished and life should cause me a lot of suffering, then, and we don't know about that layer, right? And we bring in this lovely healing energy, the healing energy goes through that twisted filter and the healing isn't smooth and easy. It causes suffering.
Wow, I love that image of a filter. That makes so much sense.
And one of the biggest filters when people first come in is the filter of I deserve to be well. So if you actually energy test them, they will be pretty straightforward and strong when you test them for I want to be well. But if you test them for I deserve to be well, then they'll go weak. So that's a big filter that I usually catch at the very, very beginning. Because if you want to be well, you can go halfway, because that's the want part. You can go halfway to your healing process. But as you get closer and closer to your goal, there's no energy that supports I deserve to be well. And so as you get closer and closer to getting your goal, you lose more and more oomph. It's almost like a magnet that's repelling you, right? So if it's in the opposite poles, the closer you get, the stronger the force that repels rather than attracts. I've discovered that not only is there this important blockage for 99% of the people with I want and I deserve, one of the blockages is suffering. I need to be punished. I need to have suffering in my life because I'm a bad person. So that's, important.
That actually brings me to the last question that I have. Is related to what you're saying when you were like, why does this happen? And then you explain the concept of the filter and then thinking about how the filter came to be, which is sort of like trauma in the body that is still pent up and not letting go. Like it's all holding on to itself, I guess. And then why does that happen? Going into that, I'm thinking about the connection between that, recognizing that, and how a holistic psychiatrist interprets the history and interprets the information the history has to offer. Can you think of, especially now that we have that as a way to understand it visually and conceptually, can you share some more examples of how holistic practitioners like yourself interpret this information from psychiatric history?
Okay, well, that's a broad question. And I think one of the ways to organize it is the way I divide up the energies. So whenever I look at a patient, there's like different energy fields and vibrations. So there's, I call it spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, social. So spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, social, and you're looking at underlying causes from all of those areas. Now, if you don't have of a holistic approach, then you're really looking more at physical, right? You're looking at the physical underlying causes. From a functional perspective, you're looking at food sensitivities or infections and toxins. And if you're coming from a traditional psychiatry approach, you're looking at neurotransmitters. You're not even paying attention to anything else. You're just looking at the messenger system of the body. How can I change the way the body communicates that it's not well? But when you're in a holistic perspective and you're looking at these different layers, you're looking at underlying causes with the spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, and social. And so you're looking at all different contributing factors that are core at those areas. I will guarantee that anybody who just isolates physical and just treats a physical, they're not going to get, you know, long-term healing because that's only one aspect. There's also, for a holistic psychiatrist, there's time that we consider, the effect of time. And our time scale is much different than maybe a functional perspective or psychiatry perspective. So in terms of time, we're looking at spiritual aspects of that person. So I believe that a person doesn't just miraculously poof, appear from nothing in the womb, right? I think of them as an energy being that is coming from somewhere. You can think of it as a spiritual perspective, coming from a premortal kind of spiritual energy. They come into the womb, they develop in the womb. What is that kind of experience like? How much cognition or understanding exists at that time in the womb? How does it have a continual effect on that child as that child gets delivered and develops over the early years and all of that stuff? So for example, gestation is a really important time that I consider. On a physical level, some mothers have Lyme disease when they're pregnant, and the Lyme will get through the placenta, the barrier, and the child can be struggling with an infection even during the developmental gestational phase. And that can be physically very difficult for that child because they're born with an immune system that's embattled. And then that puts them at a much more vulnerable place when they get vaccinations later on, because now their immune system is challenged to do other things to protect their body, but they already were challenged in the womb. And there are certain scenarios during gestation where the mother might be under stress for whatever reason. They may be in a country where there are warlike situations, you know, explosions, safety issues. There may be death in the family that create loss. And so all of that stress is held in the mother's body and can have an impact on that individual as they're developing in the womb. So all of these different things are, you know, believe it or not, we can deal with energy medicine. And of course, with functional medicine, we can support the body's rapid healing process by giving the body its tools for healing. But how you direct the body to heal and how you give their raw materials to support the healing process works in an integrated fashion. So, you know, when a person comes in, if they have a really crazy gestational environment, the next question is a spiritual question, which is, why is this individual in a life situation from birth suffering so much already? For energy medicine to heal that, there's got to be some focus in energy medicine on forgiveness, self-compassion, deserving being well, letting go of suffering, letting go of self-punishment, whatever mindset is allowing that state of suffering to happen, we want to shift it. So let's say a being is born into a life of suffering. One of the things that you want to shift is to shift the idea that punishment is appropriate for the mistakes that we think that we've made. Okay. So for whatever judgment that we have that's negative towards ourselves, we sometimes come out and we say, okay, in order for me to understand how suffering feels, I have to suffer likewise, okay? By the time I see these individuals, they've suffered for a long time and they're not getting out of that suffering. There's been a cycle of suffering. So the goal for me as a holistic clinician, not only is to help their body to heal, but also to have the mindset to heal that when you're well, when you're strong, when you have developed a forgiveness and compassion for self, that will allow you to have a good life despite mistakes that you've made, you empower yourself to help more people. It isn't just about you learning a lesson. It's you to help other people who are suffering. And that is far better an outcome or a decision about how to use your life, which is very precious, how to use your life to, I guess, repent or to make up for whatever mistakes that you feel you need to be punished for from the moment that you're born, right? So if you can help that shift in mindset to say, for example, if a person says, okay, I want to learn what it feels like to be in a state of poverty because I think that I was too arrogant or I need to understand what it feels like. And so they continually live in a state of scarcity, right? Ever since they are born, they struggle with a state of poverty. But if you can help them shift their mindset to say, okay, what if I allow myself to have abundance, to not be in a state of scarcity, but use my abundance to help other people so that they don't have to struggle with scarcity? Wouldn't that be a wonderful paradigm shift where you don't have to suffer, neither do other people have to suffer from this tragedy of just always feeling like either you're not enough or you materially you don't have enough? Wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to help the world with scarcity by not just because you understand scarcity, but by you being compassionate towards yourself and others about that particular issue? And I'm saying this in a way that I would say people who have a spiritual bent can put it within that framework and understand, but there are a lot of people who may also not come into our podcast understanding that. And so it may sound silly to work on all of these different energies and mindsets when what they're after is just the right supplement, you know?
Yeah, it's an analogy that just came to mind. Someone's listening and that doesn't connect with them completely, but maybe there's a way we can paint it, which is with a healing journey, it's a journey to, there is a destination to it in a way, which is that maybe it's for, at least in medication withdrawal, the destination for a particular period of the healing journey is to withdraw safely and from all medications, you might say. Certainly then the healing journey is eternal. It goes on forever. But in terms of the journeys that we're talking about here, that when you get more specific, you can think of it sort of like you're in the car driving somewhere and you set the GPS. And when we talk about a spiritual connection to the healing journey, we're saying to actually put in the destination for your GPS. People could help you drive the car and do all these things, change a tire and whatever. But if you don't know where you're going, aka your mindset, aka the so much of what's involved in energy medicine, then the car can keep going, but it's going to really help things if the GPS is set to the destination you want. So the way I think about it, that is, it's just a part of the body that when it comes to our felt experience of reality, there's a part of the body that is not physical.
Yeah.
And that's all, you know, just like how a part of the body is physical. There's both.
Right. And we can also talk a little bit about how trauma can affect that energy. I had a patient very early on in my practice who had very severe depression. She had ECT treatments, I think a couple of times before she came to see me. And since it was really early on in my practice, I saw her for, I think, $10 for a session. And I saw her like a couple of times a week. My goal was to try to use energy medicine and also orthomolecular or functional medicine to help her get better. And she did. She got better really nicely. Her depression lifted. She was in good health and she left. But we didn't really address the trauma. Like there was an aspect of her care at that time. And she was in an abusive relationship with her husband. He was very controlling of her. And so 2 years later, I heard back from her. And she had gotten in a car accident. I think she may have had some whiplash. And she ended up with the same kind of depressive symptoms. Now, she knew that at this point, I was able to help her, right? Because I've already helped her with even more, like a very severe depression earlier on. But I did tell her, you know, I can't give you $10 an hour, you know, for my fees anymore. You'll have to pay the regular fee. And because she had never gotten over this abusive relationship with her husband, so he didn't want to spend that money, you know, on her. And so she didn't go for the holistic treatment. And just because she didn't have the self-esteem to stand up to him when he said, no, you're not spending this money. I guess they were just hoping for a good deal, like $10 an hour. You know, we'll get Dr. Lee to get you better. And I was like, I already gave you almost a year's worth of, you know, like $10 an hour. This is really like something that you need and this will be really helpful, but it's just a regular fee. So they didn't go the holistic route. And then by accident, I got a letter in my mail that had something to do with her. And it was her. It was about her. And she was suing the psychiatrist that she hired to help her with healing from her depression. Obviously, because it didn't work. And now they're going after that psychiatrist because now I guess she's worse or something bad happened to her. But I was like, that's just a prolongation of her ongoing suffering, because when she came to see me, there were two pieces of suffering that has to be worked on. If you only work on the physical and you don't change the mindset and the person continues on with low self-esteem and abusive relationships, it taught me that they cannot maintain the positive energy that allows them to stay well in the long run, because it's just too much of the old subconscious energies that's moving them towards the old state of suffering. And then eventually the physical body manifests that suffering. Had she worked on the traumas, even if it was just abusive relationships, what will happen is that she would have been able to say, I'm worth it. We know that Dr. Lee can help me. She's helped me before. It may not take as long. And they had insurance, so it would cover some portion of it. So she would put her foot down and say, you know, this is the work that I need. I'm sure she would have gotten better just like she did before. But because she couldn't say that, she couldn't stand up for herself, she was back into that old pattern. The psychiatry treatment, I guess, didn't work. And that's why, I guess, her husband was pushing her towards suing the psychiatrist who ended up working with her, probably maybe a $10 copay, you know, with her old insurance provider in network or something.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. That's all the questions that I had. I think this was a really great episode. I really appreciated hearing about all the different ways we went. I felt like we ended up with a lot of really great visual metaphors as well. I particularly love the filter that you talked about, that there's a filter that's there from people's conditioning. Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jack. I love the way that we are able to kind of bounce back and forth, you know, our ideas and how it facilitates the whole interview and make it so much more interesting than if I were just writing everything down, just reading it from like a piece of paper. But I'm really glad that others are listening on this podcast. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast and hope that the message of how a holistic psychiatrist interprets psychiatric history differently inspires you to have more of an integrated, holistic approach that goes beyond just the physical body, that you would understand that the healing has to be the whole person, and that you'll understand the difference between a holistic perspective versus a functional perspective versus a more of a traditional psychiatry perspective. For other podcasts and holistic updates, please go to my website, holisticpsychiatrist.com, and sign up for my holistic update sign-up sheet. I'll be posting these podcasts when they come out, when I send the holistic updates out there. For Jack, go to his website, jackintheway.net. My website is holisticpsychiatrist.com. Please subscribe to all the social media links if you like. I hope that today's podcast has really helped you, and I hope you will come back and listen to more podcasts and enjoy my holistic updates when they come out in the future. So you have a good week, and thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
The content provided by this podcast is for informational purposes only and has not been approved by the US FDA. This podcast is not intended to provide personal medical advice, which should be obtained from a medical professional.
An Ironic Media production. Visit us at ironickmedia.com.